a gente brilhará.
Again, just doing the best I can here, which is all anyone could ask. A mama, game two, we wanna. Do not bother yourself. What we can, what we cannot, will explode. Strength is brute, and the power source is neutral. Suddenly we can highlight. The more glitter, the better. With the color of velvet, with love, with everything of real beauty, content. Highlight, highlight, highlight. Don't be impatient. What we feel, feel. Even if you don't try, it will have an effect. Affection is fire, and the way of fire is hot. Suddenly, we shall burn. Highlight, with the color of velvet, with love, with everything of real beauty. Content, highlight, highlight. When life hurts, it hurts. And no magician will interfere if life hurts. With the feeling of the glow, suddenly we will shine. Highlight, highlight. The more serpentine, the better. Highlight, highlight with the color of velvet, with love, with everything of real beauty, content. That was Gilberto Gil, obviously, as well as a very imperfect human being doing the best to do the world's shittiest poetry reading of the English lyrics of the track Reals or Heyals. From Gilberto Gil. What can I say? I'm bad at game ones. Game two was my everything. Game two completed me. I mean, it could have destroyed me, but it did complete me. The last 3 minutes of that one goal lead were the longest 3 minutes of my life in many ways. And I'm really fucking proud of the guys. And I love this team. I'm looking forward to taking it to LA in LA. You know, I've already established this. I mean, I established this last playoffs. I'm opposed to monarchy. I think monarchy is an extremely silly and outdated system. Therefore, the LA Kings must fall. As much as I respect Coach Todd McLellan, I don't really have the capacity to tell you more. I'm really trying to simplify. So we're just going to top things off with another Gilberto Gil track. The name of this song is Tempo Rey. Translates as King Time, and time will show what happens in game 3 and 4. Time will show what you achieve as an individual human being over the course of your limited but precious lifespan as a conscious person on the face of the earth, this strange place. King Time will show if the Oilers will win in games 3 and 4. King Time ultimately will show everything. King Time is a cruel master, but also an equalizer. Don't be afraid to embrace the fact that you live in the present moment and you have the full capacity and opportunity to embrace that present moment of your own personal agency, oscillating as it does between agency and non-agency. You have that moment in your hands, as do the Edmonton Oilers against the LA Kings in LA in games 3 and 4. The Kings seem dejected. I mean, Kings in general seem dejected. I don't know if you've noticed, but fucking Charles, not exactly killing it, folks. I actually think Charles could be the end of the British monarchy in terms of people actually giving a shit. I mean, it was easy. It was easy with Victoria. We had the wonderful and very distracting and diverting obsession with Princess Di. I mean, no one can ever underestimate the ability of the British press to skewer and invade people's private lives. Looking at you, Piers Morgan. Looking at you. Piers Morgan was on Real Time with Bill Maher recently. You know who else is on Real Time with Bill Maher? In the near future, apparently. I was shocked to find, and incredibly surprised and honored, and I was ebullient with enthusiasm for this news. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. I'm just going to tell you, watch Real Time with Bill Maher for the next few weeks, and let me know if you think there's someone who's on that panel who not only deserves to be there, but is the exact type of motherfucker that should be making inroads in that forum. I'll tell you who it is after the episode airs. Someone I personally admire, one of my, someone I interact with very mildly on Twitter, someone whose commentary I really admire. I mean, it's good to see Bill Maher letting one slip through the cracks, where, because he usually would just kind of invite on the mainstream liberals, and then whoever the fuck else on the, Milo's been on the show. And, whatever, I personally am somewhat ambivalent on Bill Maher. He annoys me on a regular basis, but to a certain extent, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the fact that Michael Brooks said he wanted to do that show. And when he said that, I was like, yes, that should be a thing. Clearly, as a vision, as an idea, as an authorized alternative reality that someone puts out there in the world and just makes possible for someone to do. You know, in a parallel universe, I mean, we're getting in these Marvel parallel universes. We're never going to get the ones we want. But in a parallel universe, a Michael Brooks or a this person who's going to be on Bill Maher. I'll just fucking say who it is. The young man's name is Daniel Bessner. He was foreign policy advisor to Bernie Sanders. Honestly, he's kind of one of my go-to foreign policy peeps. Very interesting commentator, very interesting mind. His partner in crime on one of his podcasts, American Prestige, Derek Davison, also great. But he hasn't responded to any of my DMs on Twitter. Therefore, I like Daniel a little bit more. You know, I drunkenly would message Daniel along with, let's see who else I'm messaging here. Okay, that one's redacted. This one was really embarrassing. I actually was literally so messed up one night that I messaged one of the main Oilers commentators being like, dude, you're using this word completely wrong. And in my own defense, as the kind of asshole that would ever even presume to try and correct someone on the usage of a certain signifier in the English language lexicon, I'm loath to ever do that. But it's been going on for a couple of years. For years. Years. This word has been used wrong. I'm just going to say the word. Specialty. The word is specialty. And someone's been using the word specialty wrong for years. And I love this person. I love him like a brother. I've never met him. I probably never will. But if I did, I'd shake his hand and I'd say to him, sir, you are a wonderful human being and a wonderful man, and I appreciate and admire all of your work. And just the fact that the universe graced us with the honor of your presence in the existent reality that we all seem to at least, you know, ostensibly share. But on Twitter, I messaged him saying, dude, you've been using the word specialty wrong for so long that I can no longer abide this simple fact. And this might be one of the last things I ever do on Twitter. We all know Twitter is totally ambulatory at this point. I actually embrace the fact that instead of writing a tweet, I realized writing literally anything else. If I wrote a note to remember to buy milk, that would almost be better usage of my time than writing the tweet. But that's neither here nor there. Everyone's got their breaking point. I mean, I'm obviously a word nerd. You all know that I'm an asshole when it comes to trying to use the most complicated words I possibly can in a sentence, because I'm just weird that fucking way. Probably one of the reasons why I love Deadwood so much. That show, that's very much the ethos of that show as well. It's actually one of the few things I bonded with a conservative acquaintance. I said, you know, we did lose a tremendous amount of linguistic heritage in that century where we kind of fully advanced into modernity. Jesus Christ. Okay, let's check with the breathalyzer robot. Breathalyzer robot, am I too inebriated to really be continuing this conversation with myself that much longer? All right, we're getting mixed signals here. I'm looking at the dashboard and the data. Okay, the dashboard information seems okay, but I don't know. This data seems weird, breathalyzer robot. Anyways, the ultimate point I'm trying to make is we're going into game three. You've been looking forward to this since October. It's like too spiritually and psychosexually overwhelming for you to process. I know, because it's too much for me. Therefore, I know the 25 people that are listening to this, who are kind of my unofficial therapists. I really should be kind of like dividing the cost of good psychoanalytic therapy. Like, what would that be divided by the number of listeners to the podcast? really, like, that's kind of a very socialized, kind of cooperative, worker-owned enterprise. Like, maybe instead of hiring one psychoanalyst, we should hire 40 people to just aggrandize our own ego by listening to the random-ass thoughts that someone has into a live microphone. It's not a problem that the number of people who listen, it's a small number, and honestly, the fact that it's a small number and it honors me so much is really indicative. It really reveals how pathetic I am as a human being and as a podcaster. But I will say, for those of you who listen to this shit literally like an hour after I drop it, the fact that you do that shit, the fact that an hour or two after, or 4 hours after I drop this, you're listening to it being like, what does this weird fucking motherfucker have to say? What kind of brain aneurysm is he having at this moment on whatever random topic? It blows my mind. It's very edifying. It's very affirming. I really feel like for the first time I'm existing in a world where love is possible, you know? I'm being a little bit facetious here, but it is very confusing. And I'm honored. I'm honored that you enjoy listening to this fucking crass-ass, unstructured, disordered, rhizomic fucking nonsense. But anyways, the definition of the word specialty, I'm just going to put it out there, is a noun, a pursuit, area of study, or skill to which someone has devoted much time and effort, and in which they are expert. Quote, his specialty was watercolors. Okay? That's the main definition. We're not even going to go in beyond that. Specialty is not an adjective. That's all I'm going to say. I don't mean to be an asshole, but I'm a weird motherfucker. Okay? And I love this person who's using this word wrong. And I DM them on Twitter after like 4 years of being extremely frustrated by it. Because I just am OCD enough to be like, dude, like specialty is not an adjective. You can't say, for example, can you speak to the specialty of that moment where you achieved that great thing? That's not a sentence that people say. Okay? That being said, I don't even know why I'm going into this so much. The Oilers won game two. It resurrected, you know, a la a non-depressing version of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. It kind of resurrected our faith in, you know, the Fisher King, the magic of human agency. You know, the possibility that a benevolent and benign and wise monarch might exist in some kind of authoritarian political scenario. We all know that's a fairy tale. Thank you, Disney. But the Oilers won game two after a very frustrating game one. They are the better team. The LA Kings, as many extent modern monarchies are, they're very frustrated. They're very vexed. They're very kind of like, there's a lot of in their energy right now. So we just like carry that into game three. You know, there's going to be the Hollywood Stars at the home game in LA. They're going to be a dangerous team. They're playing 1-3-1, which, you know, fuck them for. But, you know, that's also completely 125,000,000% a legitimate strategy in the NHL playoffs. All of us Oilers fans can't handle it. Just embrace that you can't handle it. Just surrender to the fact that you are helpless to the results of this playoff round. Because you know the Oilers got a really fucking good team. We got Draisaitl. We got Connor. We got a huge supporting cast around them. I mean, the Klim Kostin goal, one of the most magical goals I've seen in my life. I mean, how often do you see a significant playoff goal in an Oilers game where someone does that and uses the screen from far out and pulls some kind of wily fucking magical, what the fuck did you just do, magician shit? Klim Kostin just did that. Klim Kostin. Jesus Christ. Okay, the imposter syndrome robot is telling me that we gotta wrap this up, so we're just gonna end with a little more Gilberto Gil. The name of this track is Tempo Rey, or King Time, who gives and taketh away. But don't resist it. Just embrace the fact that you are aware of the passage of time. And you know, as an individual conscious of your own existence, that each moment, in fact, as much as the world tries to tell you different, is precious and is an opportunity for you to do something. It's at least a 50% possibility for you to make a choice. And I'm confident the Oilers are going to win game three. I'm just going to say it right now. Knock on wood. And I'm going to embrace the fact that I have no control, okay? Thank you for listening, all. Much love.
que tem sido transformando, transformando tempo, espaço, navegando todos os sentidos. Pães de açúcar, corcovados, fustigados pela chuva e pelo eterno vento. Água mole, pedra dura, tanto bate que não restará nem pensamento. Tempo rei, ó tempo rei, ó tempo rei, transformai as velhas formas do viver. Ensinai, mesmo fundamento singular do ser humano, de um momento para o outro, poderá não mais fundar nem gregos nem baianos, mães zelosas, pais corujas. Vejam como as águas de repente ficam sujas. Não se iludam, não me iludo, tudo agora mesmo pode estar por um segundo. Tempo rei, ó tempo rei, ó tempo rei, transformai as velhas formas.
We'll be right back.
The name of that song is The Ultimate Weapon. It's my favorite song on the soundtrack to a video game from 1997. Rhymes with MAGA Frontier from Square Enix. The composer is Ito Kenji. Again, the name of that song is The Ultimate Weapon. And we still have The Ultimate Weapon, folks. So just wait until the sleeper has awoken. I mean, he's got one assist in two games. Leon is a fucking playoff beast. He's a fucking playoff beast. He's beast mode. He's the type of human being who just completely skewers any notion of what is possible in the game of hockey and the reality of human beings and their world. So just remember, folks, if nothing else, we still have the ultimate weapon to come in games 3 and 4. I believe in the ultimate weapon. I pray to Connor McDavid. I pray to the ghost of David Letterman, even though he's not deceased. He gives us the strength to carry on in the new talk show underworld, folks. And I hope you maintain the strength to carry on in these dark times, because that is all anyone could ask of you. Good luck, much love, and good night. If you are listening to this, you have gained access to the top secret area of the Handkerchief Dynasty /Night Rules/whatever-the-fuck-else podcast. In order to advance to the next stage, please provide me with 1 2-liter bottle filled with tap water, 1 button-down shirt and tie safely stowed away in a plastic shopping bag, 1 unopened can of corn along with can opener. If you can, you can also bring the unopened hummus that your roommate bought, that you are surreptitiously planning on deflowering. If you can bring these items to me, you shall advance to rounds 2 and/or 3. Knock on wood. Good luck, my friends. Stay frosty. And stay in a state of cat-like readiness to embrace your destiny. That is my challenge to you. Also, bring me 10 healing potions and 5 wolf hides. Please and thank you.
I fire, 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 fire. Sunshine.